Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrea Wood, and my pronouns are she and her. My ancestors come from the UK. And I want to welcome all here this morning. I am Pod 1, Practitioner 1. Leo is here today and available to pray, as well as Kit. Anyone wearing a stole is available to pray with you this morning after the service. And also, there are other ways that we can pray with you as well. We have a prayer vessel in the back where you can request prayer. And I invite you right now to join me in prayer. So know with me as I know that there is one divine presence, one power, one magnificent infinite wisdom. It lives at the core of my being, all beings everywhere. And this one, the language of this one is love. It moves through all things in peace, in unity, and in harmony. It is unshakable. Spirit is everywhere present and all-knowing. And I know for myself, and I know for all present, that we are blessed. We are blessed to bless. As we ground ourselves in spirit, we become full of light, full of love, and we participate in the circle of giving and receiving support and love throughout this world. And we are guided to divine right action. So I'm so grateful for this community, each and every one of you, heart full of gratitude. I release my word knowing it is done, and so it is.
There's a lot going on. I didn't sleep well last night because there was another shooting yesterday by ICE. And I didn't take the opportunity to address it earlier, and I feel like I need to address it now. I want to acknowledge Renee Good and Alex Pretty, who both got shot by ICE officers. And I want to say that no matter the circumstances or anybody's politics or policies, the loss of human life is a loss for all of us. And each and every human life is sacred and holy. And to lose people in such a way is heartbreaking to me. They were people with stories, with relationships. Alex was a VA hospital emergency room nurse. Renee Good was a prize-winning poet, and she was a mother. Everyday people like you and me. And there's a ripple that happens, especially when I understand our teaching at a deeper level, because the basis of our teaching is oneness. And what that means is that we're all interconnected. Everything harmful that happens to all of us. And it also means every revelation of love, every revelation of truth, every revelation of kindness also ripples out. So my job isn't to tell you to ignore it. There's been, I want to say, jokes made about religious or spiritual organizations that just say thoughts and prayers. I will say that prayers do make a difference. And our thoughts do make a difference. We also have a paradigm in our teaching where we say, treat and move your feet. Now, treat, for those of you who are here for the first time, you might not have any idea what the heck I'm talking about. So we have a version of prayer that we speak in this community called affirmative prayer. And it was originally called spiritual mind treatment, because when our founder, Ernest Holmes, was talking about it, he was talking about how the body of the infinite universe, or the body of God or source, is our body. And when a patient goes in for a treatment, they usually go in for healing. And so he called it spiritual mind treatment because for him, mind was another version of God or source that was present throughout all beings. And for him, that meant I have a conscious declaration that I know that the infinite mind of God is in and through all beings. And when I do a treatment, I am healing myself, which is healing the world. So everything that's happening right now that is counter to what I'd love to happen, I know is an effect of the people who came before and the people who are here now. That the policies that are in place, or the paradigms that are unfolding, that are paradigms of fear or violence or hatred or division, are policies that were created by people in fear. And there's also policies and places and groups of consciousness that was created in love. And so the question is, what are you going to align with? Are you going to align with fear? Or are you going to align with love? Love. Yes. So I want you to know that I'm not interested in being asleep during this time. I want to stay awake. And instead of my heart being hardened, I want my heart to open. And it causes me to ask the hard questions of, where am I being fearful of the other? Where am I demoralizing or demonizing other human beings because of their actions? It doesn't mean I agree with actions. It doesn't mean that I am encouraging those actions. But where am I behaving in the way where I might be condemning people in the same way? And so this is where our teaching is the hard teaching. Because it requires me to look inward. And if I want to walk my talk, that means I need to create a space of love in my heart for people who are hurting, and even for people who have harmed others. And that is hard work. But it is the work of love. It is the work of the kind of planet I want to be on, where forgiveness is the norm. Where I can see the best in people, but I also hold them to be accountable for their actions. And so that's the challenge of this. That's the challenge. So that wasn't my talk. I wrote my talk a few days ago. But I've been so stirred by it, I just felt like you needed to know the truth of what we're about here. And so it's not about spiritual bypass, which means you just say thoughts and prayers and you pretend like that's going to heal everything. It's not. It means I get to look at my own actions in this world and how can I take a stand for love. And that's going to look different for everybody. So I can't tell you how that looks, but I can tell you that for me, it looks like my everyday interactions The way I vote, the way I look at things, the way I speak about things has to be in alignment and integrity with love. Yeah. So I wasn't here last week because I was facilitating a retreat, a planning retreat for Sister Spirit. And for the first time in 19 years, we sold out in 6 days with 96 women registered. Wow. And my planning committee, who lives in different states, all of us flew to Arizona, Goodyear, Arizona, to create our dream retreat for the 96 women who will be attending. And what that entails is us doing the exercises that we're going to ask the women to do at the retreat. And when we get stirred, we go, oh, this is what's going to happen at the retreat. And we talk about the arc of the retreat and how it flows together. And then this year, we always love to do kind of like a sub-theme underneath the main like theme that came through. And our sub-theme is about Wicked. And the story of Wicked is a powerful story about taking a stand for good and not always being the popular one, but being somebody who's willing to go in your internal heart and take a stand. And we had each, I'm going to give a little spoiler here. We had each of the women pull different characters out of a hat that they're going to talk about how that character relates to their life. And so I just put all the characters in the hat, and I was the last one to draw, and I got the flying monkeys. We all dress up like our characters. I'm like, oh, man. So a little spoiler for those of you attending, I will be a flying monkey. But one of the things about the flying monkeys that I think is really interesting is they change several times. And one of their first changes is when they get their wings. And somebody puts a spell on them that causes them to grow their wings and is very doesn't realize what they're doing. Doesn't realize the harm they're inflicting on the monkeys. And once they realize it, they regret it. But the monkeys are really mad. They're really pissed off because it was painful and it sucked and it was harmful and it was irreversible transformation. And yet it gave them the ability to fly. And so I wonder if during this time we might be going through our own transformation that is painful, but it also may give us the ability to fly. So my name is Reverend Abigail, for all those of you who are here for the first time. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here, especially our newcomers for the first time. And my pronouns are she and her. My ancestry is from Ireland and Prussia and Germany. And we're doing this week, 4 week series that is based on our teaching, which is on a book called The Science of Mind. When I called mind, it's kind of the thing, the science of God, the science of the universe. It's one of the books that we teach from. We teach from several, but this is one of our main books. And the first four chapters, by the way, this is my dad's. I just pulled it from my library. I was like, oh, hi, Dad. I didn't realize this was yours. We did week one of January was the thing itself, and Reverend Deborah addressed that. The way it works was week two, and that was me. And then last week was what it does, and that was Eric. And this week is how to use it. So that's what we're going off of these first four chapters in the book. And we're also talking about this other book called Braiding Sweetgrass. This is Sweetgrass. I am packing my house because I want to move here to Bellingham. I live in Linwood, Washington. I'd like to invite you to take this, see it, smell it, pass it on, It smells amazing. And I use it personally when I'm doing house blessing ceremonies. I have sage blessing, sweetgrass blessing, and I also use Palo Santo. And the beautiful thing about sweetgrass, and in the book, Braiding Sweetgrass, they talk about the fact that the sweetgrass doesn't survive if it's not harvested. Like, it needs something to gather it. And in the story, Robin talks about Robin Wall Kilmer, who's the author, and she is a botanist, a scientist, and also an indigenous person to America. And she says that sweetgrass grows best when it's harvested. So when sweetgrass is picked respectfully, taking only what's needed, the harvesting actually stimulates growth. So reciprocity is built into its biology. And when it's left alone, it's protected from harvesting, it declines. So basically, it needs a relationship. Excuse me. It needs a relationship with something or someone. And I think that it's such an appropriate metaphor for us, because we need to be giving of ourselves, and we also need to be receiving of those gifts around us. And so the way it works is through conscious actions of giving of ourselves, and also conscious receiving of the gifts of others. The cool thing about life is that we are interconnected. And one of the other examples is mushrooms. So mushrooms look like separate organisms. You see them popping up. They look like their own individualized organisms. But the mycelium underneath is all connected. And then the fruiting body is the mushroom. So imagine the universe or source or goddess or God or the infinite field or whatever your word is for it, is the base of consciousness underneath everything. And you and I are the fruiting bodies. They all look different. They're all special and unique. They're all interconnected. And they all have the nutrients from the same source. That's us. And if we realize how interconnected we are, then we behave differently. If I know that my actions have an effect on everybody around me, I want to say, what are my actions? What do they look like? And how can I stand in being the best and most integrous person that I can be? And what does that look like for me? So one of the other things I'm going to be doing is teaching from this book, The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. And I love this book because it's not really, it is about leadership, but it's also just about how do you live a great life within relationship to everybody around you. And he has this line here. It's one of the basis of those teachings, Jim Detmer and Diana Chapman and Kaylee Warner Klemp. This line here is, are you living above the line or are you living below the line? Are you living consciously or are you living unconsciously? I can tell you when I'm living unconsciously. I have those days or moments or hours where I'm in fear, where I'm super angry and I just want to rage against everything around me. I think it's totally fine to have anger and to have emotions. But the actions that I take, where am I taking actions from? Am I taking actions from fear or from a conscious knowingness that my love and my dedication to humanity is going to make a difference? And you can feel the difference. Sometimes I just need to be in my emotions and just let them process through me so I can get to the place where I am serving from a conscious place instead of an unconscious place. And I bookmarked this one section here. Oh, that's not the bookmark. That wasn't it. Not all. Mm-mm. Nope. That was not. I think I bookmarked the Science of Mind text. That's what it was. So anyway, this is my bookmark here. Anything that will enable us to express greater life, greater happiness, greater power, so as long as it doesn't harm anyone, must be the will of God for us. Anything that will enable us to express greater life, greater happiness, greater power, so long as it doesn't harm anyone, must be the will of God for us. And like I said, you don't have to say God. You can say source or goddess. It doesn't care. Because it is in and through and as all of us. But we are the mycelium. We are feeding the mycelium. When we have actions of love, we're feeding the whole network. When we're struggling and we can't see the path and we ask for help and receive it, we're helping the whole network. It's got to be reciprocal. It has to be a place where we're all in it together, helping each other. So you're never alone. You cannot be alone. You're actually structurally, biologically, spiritually incapable of being separate, even though it looks like we are all separate. And whenever I'm acting from separation, that's when I'm acting to harm others or myself. And whenever I'm acting with this idea of love and connection, that's when I'm tuned in to the highest and greatest gift of my own spiritual connection to the One. And so those are questions for you. Are you willing to be in a reciprocal relationship with life, with each other, and with community? Are you willing to take a stand for love? And are you willing to ask the hard question of, where am I causing division? Where am I looking at the other political party and calling them the other? Where am I looking at the actions of people who have harmed people and I'm maligning them? Can I take a stand for accountability? Can I take a stand for truth without also causing harm? I think I can. And so that's the invitation for you, is to know that we are here to be in relationship. We are never separate. We are part of the One. And I want to also encourage you, I want to let you know that some big things are happening in my life. Besides doing a fabulous retreat last weekend, I did a fabulous retreat this weekend with the leadership of the board, the ministers, practitioners, the Clara. We got our staff here. We had a really amazing retreat, and we created a focus together for 2026 that I wanted to share with you, but I took a picture of it so I could remember it. So our focus for 2026 is, number one, divine connection. We've got three focuses. Divine connection, which leads to support and service, which leads to action in the world. So the divine connection is about being radiant, being light. The service and support in the world is about being expressions of joy and being welcoming. And action in the world is about movement and expansion. So where are you expanding versus contracting? So that's the invitation for everybody this year. This was co-created by all of the leadership in this community. And we have some sticky notes that are on the walls. We have some some poster board things that are hung up so you can see kind of the process, the celebration of looking at what worked in 2025, how people contributed, how they see this whole life and this whole ecosystem being like a tree where we're rooted and grounded in spirit, where our trunk is our core values, where our actions and our spiritual practices and ways of being are the branches, and the fruits are the results of who we are out in the world. So I encourage you to, if you're here in person, you get to look at it. Sorry, everybody online. We do have pictures. We'll post them, I promise you. and just know that that's who we are, and that's what we stand for, and that's what we'll continue to be. And so I invite you to be that with me right here and now. Let's pray. I'm so grateful to know that I was born on purpose for such a time as this. That it may not be easy work to take a stand for love, but it is the work of the holy expression of the infinite one loving itself, saying that love transforms everything. It transforms me. And it opens me to be the person that I know I truly am deep and inside of me. I call forth that truth. I call forth that voice, that way of speaking, where it is about being connected with love. Not ignoring harm, but being filled with compassion. Serving in a way that the action of my service is creating a greater good in the world. I know that this world of reciprocity, this infinite nature of the one, seeks to have an expression of thriving. And so as I vision that, I align myself with it, and I step into a world of possibility where the universe conspires to support me and everybody in this truth unfolding. I see it every day, and I know and claim that life continues to delight me in expected and unexpected ways because I'm paying attention and I'm being a place for love. And so in this moment, I'm going to do a minute of silence to honor Alex and Renee and just be a place where love shows up for 1 minute. Love leads the way. Love guides me. Love transforms me. Love inspires me to say the right and perfect things at the right and perfect time. This is what I believe. This is what I know. And so it is.